Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Friday, November 29th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next 45 minutes or so. Let's go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you with me as we wrap up this holiday week here on Bang the Book Radio. Got a couple of segments, I guess I'd call it that, for you here on today's show. Unfortunately, with the Thanksgiving holiday, me not able to record early evening like I usually do with Brent, not able to get the head risk manager from DSI Sportsbook on today's show. However, he did send over some sharp action for me to talk about here on today's program. So I'm going to start out with that. Then I'll go into the Week 13 Westgate Super Contest selection segment, my picks and leans for this week in the Super Contest. So a little bit of a different show here on Friday. Again, I'll start with the odds report, just telling you about the information that Brent passed over to me. So we'll start with that, and then we'll do the Super Contest segment shortly thereafter. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Lots of good stuff from our very talented cast of writers as we head on into the weekend over there. So make sure you head on over there and check that out. And, of course, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio, presented by our friends down at DSI Sportsbook, BTB, and the number 200 is that promo code, 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook, 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. One real quick programming note here. Unfortunately, some more bad news for you on today's show. Not going to be able to do the show on Monday. I'm having some work done here at the house. It's probably going to be some loud work at that. So, unfortunately, not able to do Monday's show. Tried to schedule it for a Monday, hoping I could record Sunday night with Kyle Hunter, but he'll be traveling back from the holiday weekend, so not able to record Sunday night with him. Don't want to run the risk on Monday of having a bunch of background noise and, of course, you know, wanting to make sure that I keep an eye on what's going on here. So not going to have a show on Monday of next week. We'll probably get Kyle Hunter on Wednesday in Wes Reynolds' place. So Tuesday we'll have Brian Blessing and Ralph Michaels. Wednesday, Brian Leonard, Kyle Hunter. Thursday, Brad Powers. Friday, the Super Contest in Brent. So everything will be back to normal other than that, but no show on Monday. Probably end up having Kyle Hunter on Wednesday with the conference championship games to talk about, and, of course, some college basketball stuff as well. So I do apologize. I tried to think of the show in terms of scheduling this. Didn't really realize it was after the Thanksgiving holiday and didn't realize that Kyle wouldn't be able to record. So I do apologize for that, but we'll make up for it by getting him on the show on Wednesday. So, hate to be the bearer of bad news here to start off the program, but, you know, sometimes things kind of come up here. And, you know, with the fact that we do this show daily, you know, I try not to miss any shows whenever possible, but unfortunately, going to run into some difficulties here with the show this week. All right, so we take a look here at this week's version of the odds report. Once again, Brent from DSI Sportsbook sent me over some really good information here. Lots of stuff on the college side as well as the NFL side for you. Again, you won't get to hear his sweet voice here on today's show, but definitely wanted to run through some of this stuff for you here. I think there's some very important stuff for us to take a look at. And because he didn't send it over to me in rotation number order, I'm just going to roll through it in the order in which he sent it to me. So if you do follow along with your odds screen, I apologize for that. But I just want to go through everything that Brent sent me here to kick off today's show. And the first sharp side in college football for this weekend, BYU -2.5. This is game 429-430 against San Diego State. And in fact, he sent me this information yesterday around 6 p.m. or so. But this is a line that's even moved all the way up to BYU -5 across the market, 5.5, as well as 6 now starting to pop here. But Brent said that the sharp action came in on BYU -2.5, two different sharp bettors coming in on BYU at 2.5. He said there was a very heavy BYU count at the -2.5, had evened out since getting to -4, but he continued climbing with the market out there. And once again, this one up from 2.5 all the way to 5.5 and 6 at some places out there in the offshore marketplace. As I take a look at what DSI has right now, I'll go ahead and give you the updated line at the time of recording here, because I generally record this on Thursday night, but recording it here on Friday morning because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So as we take a look here at what DSI currently has on this game, they are currently showing BYU as once again, a very big favorite, much bigger favorite than early in the week. 5.5 here, total of 38. So sharp action, BYU minus 2.5, two different sharp bettors getting in, got out to minus 4, then just kept climbing with the market. Now sitting at 5.5 on this one. Next up here with some sharp action is Michigan State under 49.5 here. Michigan State taking on Maryland this week. The Spartans need a win to get bowl eligible. They got the first step in that process last week when they beat down Rutgers. Now this week, they wind up taking on the Maryland Terrapins here. And this is a situation where Michigan State, a big favorite role for them, 22.5-point favorite here on this one. And the spread almost 4 times the money on Michigan State here, according to Brent, that is reflected in that move from 20.5 to 22.5. Maryland, a team, as I mentioned on yesterday's show, getting blown out with regularity here in the second half of the season. So not a big surprise to see a lot of Sparty money with that in mind, that also Michigan State playing for the chance to get to a bowl game here. Brent says, though, that the count rather even on the total. Again, 49.5 is where he got hit by some sharp money here in this game. The count relatively even, but still that sharp money kind of moving this total around a little bit. And again, it is one of those things where you don't expect Maryland to look very good offensively. You certainly expect Michigan State to take care of their affairs here with something extra on the line for them. So in this game here, once again, you've got Michigan State up from 20.5 to 22.5. Sharp money on the under 49.5 in that one. Next up on the card here, Arizona State. They are minus 12.5 in the Territorial Cup against Arizona. Obviously not the easiest of spots here for Arizona State coming off of that big win over Oregon. But as Brent mentions here, the sharp money, Arizona State minus 12.5, 2 times the money on Arizona State. This one out there in the market has gotten to 14 in a few different places. And as Brent listed in his notes here, he expects this line to get up to 14, judging by the bet count on Arizona State, plus the sharp money already out there on the Sun Devils. This one's sitting 13.5 right now at DSI Sportsbook. Total on this game of 59.5. Again, the sharp action at 12.5. And you know, usually a lot of these numbers have moved out of range to the point where it's difficult for people to get them. 13.5, still not a bad number at all whatsoever in this one. You find a book at 13 or 13.5. This one is very likely to go up to 14. So keep that in mind here with Arizona State, number 420. In the rotation order here for this week. Sharp money minus 12.5, 2 times the money on Arizona State. And it does look like this one going up to 14. Navy and Houston, the next one that Brent sent over to us here, game 363, 364. Navy up from 7.5 to 8.5. There's even some 9s out there in the marketplace right now. Over at DSI, they're showing 8.5, total 58.5 here on Navy versus Houston. As he mentioned, though, Navy minus 7.5 took the sharp action. Not a heavily bet game, but the count 2-1 on the Navy side said that this line has settled in at 8.5, at least for now. But keep in mind here, you've got a Houston team not going to a bowl game. Dana Holgorsen was very critical of his team early on in the season, and they've got to try and prep for the option here in their last game of the year. You certainly have to wonder how invested they are in doing that. So sharp money, Navy minus 7.5. Not a big surprise there when you look at the context of this game. And to look at this game and what it means to Houston here, not really a whole lot. What it means to Navy, chance at getting to 10 wins if they wind up beating Army in a couple of weeks' time here. So Navy going for 10 wins, Navy hoping that maybe something lucky happens for them in that Cincinnati-Memphis game on Friday. But still, Navy, you know, the Service Academy is very disciplined. They don't overlook a whole lot of games. So again, sharp action, Navy minus 7.5, 2-1 count on Navy. And right now it has settled in a little bit at 8.5. A really interesting game here. I talked about this one on yesterday's show, New Mexico State and Liberty, game 375, 376 here. Liberty took sharp money at minus 13.5 in this one. Not a whole lot of volume on this game, according to Brent, but Liberty is getting about 2-1 on the side money here for this game. It says that 14.5 has balanced out the action a little bit, which is kind of interesting because you know, you've got a Liberty team here that needs a win in order to become bowl eligible. Now, they did only beat New Mexico State by 7 earlier on in the season. That was a game on the road in Las Cruces. But Brent says here that at 13.5 and 14, the money was still 2-1 on Liberty. 14.5 has kind of balanced it out a little bit. But at 14, they weren't really getting any two-way action on this game. And again, obviously at 14.5, you lose some equity going off of 13.5 and off of 14. So it does make some sense that 14.5 would kind of be the stopping point for this number. But again, Liberty with something to play for, New Mexico State, not so much. But with all of these rivalry games here on the card, not going to get much volume, not going to get a very big handle on this game. So if more Liberty money comes in, 15.5, very much a possibility here in this one. How about game 371, 372 here, Wisconsin and Minnesota? Well bet game, according to Brett, both on the money and the count. The count is 2-1 on Minnesota here, but the sharp money coming in on Wisconsin -2. So we've got a sharp versus public split here on this game, with Wisconsin being the sharp side, Minnesota being more of the public side here in this one. As Brent notes in game 371, 372, again, this is for the Big Ten West Division title. The market -2.5, -115, or -120. Brent says here that you try to avoid going to -3, where you kind of have to lock in on the number. Also sends me these notes a couple days before the game. So you understand the hesitance of going to -3, because you don't want to move back off of a key number once you go up to it. Because if you move back off, you already know what you've gotten at 2 or 2.5. So you want to go to 3, try to balance the counts that way if you have to. If you don't have to, you want to stay off the key number. This looks like one where, you know, maybe 2.5 is going to be the sticking point here on this one, with the public on Minnesota and the sharp money on Wisconsin here, -2.5, and also what looks like a sharp versus public split in that huge game there up in Minneapolis. One more on the college side from Brent here that he passed along. That is the Civil War, game 431, 432. Oregon State and Oregon. Oregon took sharp money at -18. Money 3-1 on Oregon here for this one. Even at 19.5, Brent says they're taking all Oregon Ducks money, which does suggest that -20 probably on the way here for this game. As we take a look over at DSI right now, still sitting 19.5, but again, still quite a bit of time before this game actually kicks off here on Saturday. But once again, Oregon -18, the sharp money, count 3-1 on the Ducks, even taking Ducks money at 19.5. Again, this is a one-sided rivalry here for the most part. Oregon State did win in 2016, but the last 2 years, Oregon by a combined score of 124-25. So this is one of those situations where Oregon has really dominated this head-to-head rivalry, the market kind of responding by taking the Ducks. Sharp money, -18, all Ducks money the rest of the way. Looks like -20 and potentially even -21 coming your way here on Oregon. So there are the college football thoughts for week 14 from Brent from DSI Sportsbook, the head risk manager down there. Now we transition over to the NFL side of things here. For week 13, good bit of sharp action that Brent passes along here on the professional side as well. And, you know, always good to get Brent's insight and analysis here on the program, even if I'm just relaying it to you secondhand. But first game on the board here, game 451, 452 for Sunday, Green Bay and the Giants. Giants took sharp money at +7, even money. So +7, even money, where the sharp money came in on the Giants right now. That line 6.5, total of 44.5 over at DSI. And, you know, as Brent notes here, the Packers traveling poorly to the West Coast twice. Maybe they've got some issues on the road and certainly seem to have some issues on defense as well. But this is a sharp versus public split in this Packers-Giants game. Giants, again, taking sharp money at +7, even money. Heavy count on Green Bay here. Brent mentions about 4-1. On the Packers in this one, laying that big number out at MetLife Stadium, but the sharp money on the Giants here. So we do see a sharp versus public split emerging in that game. Next up here on the NFL side, The New York Jets, they're a 3-point favorite against the Cincinnati Bengals. Game 465, 466. The over, what has taken sharp money here in this game between the Jets and the Bengals, over 39.5 is where that sharp money came in. Now sitting 41 over at DSI. You know, the Jets offense moving the football. They're scoring some points. The front seven is strong, but as Brent notes here and what he sent over to me, the Jets are a little bit weak in the secondary. Jets have won three, scoring exactly 34 points in three straight games. The Bengals with some run-pass splits. Andy Dalton now back in the lineup, so they figure that they'll go up some more in terms of pass plays as well as some deep shots here. So sharp money over 39.5 in that Jets and Bengals game, now sitting 41. And this is a game where we've got sharp and public money on the over. The count 3-1 on the over in this one. Public getting on board the Jets scoring train. And, of course, that sharp money there at 39.5. So up from 39.5 to 41, game 465, 466, the Jets and the Bengals. So over money in that game, over 39.5, the sharp play. Public money continuing to drive that number up to 41. Next up here on the NFL side, game 471, 472, the Browns and the Steelers. Sharp money on Cleveland here. Browns at a pick'em is where that sharp money came in. Browns with the three wins in a row, relatively easy schedule to close things out. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Arizona, Baltimore, Cincinnati again. Could they go 4-1? Could they make the playoffs? Seems like some people have kind of gotten back onto the Browns here this week and potentially for the rest of the season. Obviously, the Pittsburgh offense, a lot of questions about their quarterback play. They are going with Devlin Hodges here in this one over Mason Rudolph. But as Brent notes here, the count 2-1 on the Browns. The Browns are back to being a public side as they were at the start of the season and at the end of last season. Again, that sharp money on Cleveland coming in at a pick'em. Now Browns -2 out there in the marketplace. So sharp money at a pick. Count 2-1 on the Browns, who are getting a lot of public support here this week on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, as we mentioned here on the show, Browns favored in Pittsburgh for the first time since 1989, looking for the first regular season sweep of the Steelers since 1988. So sharp money at a pick'em, public money continuing to back Cleveland in game 471, 472. Finally, the last one that Brent sent over here for us, Monday Night Football, Minnesota and Seattle. The sharp money on the over 49 here for this game. As Brent mentions here, both defenses are pretty suspect. Both offenses firing at a very high rate. Sharp money at over 59, and the count 2-1 on the over here, bumping this number up a little bit more to 50 in that Monday night game up in Seattle. Interesting to note here that it appears we've got a sharp versus public split on the side as well, because Brent says that the side money 3-1 on Seattle, yet we're seeing a lot of +3 with extra juice. Some 2.5s have started to pop as well. So it looks like we've got a sharp versus public split on the side here with the public money 3-1 on Seattle. Sharp money not at DSI, but out there in the marketplace somewhere for game 475, 476 here on Monday Night Football. So I know it's a little bit of an unconventional way to do the sharp money report, the odds report here with Brent, but I appreciate Brent sending over some notes for us there. Again, on the college side, sharp money, BYU -2.5, Michigan State under 49.5, Arizona -12.5, Navy -7.5, Liberty -13.5, Wisconsin -2, Oregon -18. Then the sharp money on the NFL side, where we've got a lot of good volume over in the NFL here, especially with the Sunday and Monday night games. Giants +7, even money. Jets over 39.5. Browns at a pick'em. Minnesota and Seattle over 49. So there's the notes that Brent passed along here. And once again, appreciate Brent taking the time to do that. Unfortunately, not able to record a segment with me here today, but we will get Brent back on the program for the odds report on next week's show. All right, now we transition over to the Westgate Super Contest selection segment. My thoughts for week 13 here in the Super Contest. And I like the Bills on Thursday. I like the Saints on Thursday. Didn't play either one of them. Would have been 2-0 to start the week. Now I got to try and figure out five plays from Saturday or from Sunday and Monday, and I hate this week's NFL card. So shame on me for not being ready to go with the picks here for Thursday. But again, the difficulty being when you play that Thursday game, you got to figure out your whole Sunday card as well. So it does make it very, very difficult to get involved here with those Thursday night games. So wish I would have done it. Wish I was 2-0, but unfortunately here, you know, one of the things that needs to change in these contests is that the super contest lines came out on their regular time on Wednesday. The Circa Million usually releases Thursday morning. They released a day early. They released Wednesday afternoon. Kudos to them for that. But this needs to be changed. This policy needs to be different. The super contest needs to get these lines out earlier, because not only do you run into the holidays, but the vast majority of the field for the super contest uses a proxy, and you have to respect the proxy's deadlines. And I fully understand that. I don't blame the proxies for setting different deadlines with the Thanksgiving holiday. I mean, obviously they want time with their families too. And you know, it's a time consuming process to put in a lot of picks. The super contest needs to be cognizant of that and either release these lines during the day on Wednesday or get them out on Tuesday night. It is bullshit that you've got maybe 12 hours to get your picks to your proxy when you're trying to sort through everything, probably plan some holiday travel or whatever else. And you know, you're kind of handcuffed in terms of using the Thursday games. I wasn't ready to fire on the full card. In retrospect, I should have just taken my chances because there were two sides I like on Thursday, but this needs to be changed. This policy needs to be more friendly for the contestants. Hopefully it's something that does change, you know, at least the Circa giving you, you know, a little less than 24 hours time with your proxy, super contest giving you 12. This needs to change. You're talking about, you know, the very small margins here in this contest between cashing or not. We're not going to cash. But if you're a half point or a point out of the money here, you know, and you've got this hurried Thanksgiving schedule, things need to change. They need to give more lead time with the opportunity to put in your selections. So, you know, I'm probably just, this would fall on deaf ears if I said anything, but you know, this policy needs to change. With the popularity of these contests, and again, with so many people using a proxy service, you need to get these lines out earlier for people. You need to give them more of an opportunity to play these Thursday games and also have more time to look at the card. Because you're not just talking about one Thursday game here where maybe you've got to handicap one game. You've got to handicap three games. This needs to change, and hopefully it does for next season. In any event, maybe it's just sour grapes for me. Went 1-4 in the Super Contest last week. Now 28-31-1 for the season. Our other Super Contest entry, the .com entry, 0-5, 28-30-2 for the season. Last week, the Super Contest field 52.42%. Now 49.28 for the season. Consensus last week goes 9-5, now 75-93-4. Top 5, 4-1, now 30-28-2. Over in the Super Contest Gold, 55.75% last week, 50.34% for the season. Both of our Circa Million entries going 0-5 last week. 27-32-1 for me, 31-26-3 for the bangthebook.com-1 entry. The field last week, 52.19% in the Circa, 49.99% year to date. And admittedly, maybe this is on me a little bit, I had a hard time getting back into the NFL card for this week. You know, after a combined 1-9 in the Super Contest and the Circa, you know, the fourth quarter starts this week in the Circa, our last chance to do anything in either one of these contests. It's very difficult, you know, to keep going in these things when you know that you're not going to make any money. 25 picks left to go. Going to keep doing it for pride. Going to keep doing it because, you know, the name of the website is on our entries there, but very difficult to get back into it after such a bubble bursting week. And, you know, I already had one of those with the 0-5 back in week 8, now a 1-4 here in week 12. It's a very difficult thing. And, you know, there's no margin for error in this contest. And, you know, I talk about this a lot here, and I'm not going to get into a long rant about this on the show because I'm trying to keep things a little bit quicker here on today's program. But the mental side of this industry, of this business, can really wear you down. And, you know, you put so much time and effort and emphasis into the NFL, and, you know, it's already frustrating enough having to pick five games a week, because there are weeks where maybe I like six or seven games in the NFL. Maybe I like two or three, and I have to get to five no matter what. And that's frustrating. And that drains you mentally a little bit, because you know you're trying to decide between these razor thin leans, picks that maybe you don't really like a whole lot, and you got to put them out there anyway. And, you know, again, the margin for error is so small in this contest, really so small in this business, unless you're looking at it from a very long-term perspective, it's a hard thing to do. And when you have a bad week, and in particular a week that kind of cements your fate, it's very hard to get off the mat and keep going here with the super contest. And that's something that a lot of people fall into in the super contest here, because, you know, again, only the top 100 plus ties get paid out of 3,328 entries. So there's going to be upwards of 3,200 people that don't make anything in this contest. And that's tough. You know, it's tough to put forth your $1,500 and to put so much effort and time and emphasis into this contest, and to know that by week 13, you're not going to make any money. And even before that, for some people, it's a real challenge. So hoping to get back on track here a little bit, again, trying to finish this thing strong for Pride, for the name, so to speak, on the front of the jersey with our Bang the Book entries. So hopefully things do work out a little bit better here for this week. As always, I like to mention the line differences between the Super Contest and the Circa Million. Buccaneers minus one in the Super Contest, a pick'em over in the Circa. Jets minus three in the Super Contest, minus 3.5 in the Circa. Browns minus two in the Super Contest, 2.5 in the Circa. Patriots minus three in the Super Contest, 3.5 in the Circa. So the Circa throwing half points on the key number of three with that Jets-Bengals game, with that Patriots-Texans game, certainly going to alter the dynamics in that contest where you get the hook. We saw the hook play a big role in terms of the pick counts for that Ravens and Rams game last week. Didn't wind up factoring into the equation at all whatsoever in that game, but I did wind up on the Rams in the Circa because that hook was there, one of my five losing picks over in that. But again, the Circa releasing their lines early Wednesday morning, the Super Contest Wednesday night, as they always do. So that explains some of the differences here with the lines between the two contests. So again, not really a card I like a whole lot here in the Super Contest or the Circa Million for this week, but we start with number 17 here. That is the Kansas City Chiefs. They are a 10-point favorite against the Oakland Raiders. I get it. It's a square side. It's a public side, but I'm going to lay it with Kansas City here. Andy Reid, in his last 27 games off of a bye, 22-4-1 to the under. So what that tells me is that Andy Reid knows how to game plan for the opposition coming out of a bye week. Game plans with the best of them. And as we know, the Raiders need to score points to be competitive. They cannot win a defensive struggle. They've got to be able to move the football and put up some points of their own. And I don't think they're going to be able to do it here in this game. Raiders defense fourth in yards after catch allowed. Patrick Mahomes, of course, two more weeks removed from that knee injury that he had. Raiders are 29th in adjusted net yards per pass attempt against. The Chiefs, big game for them. They want that two-game edge in the division. So this is one that they're obviously fully focused for. A lot of game planning here over the last 2 weeks for this one. And a back-to-back on the road for the Raiders. And the Raiders have traveled so much here so far this season. We know what they played away from home, you know, for 5 of 6 weeks. They had a bye in between. But this is a team, you know, you look at their schedule here. You know, early on, couple of home games, Denver and Kansas City. At Minnesota, at Indianapolis, London game against Chicago, bye week at Green Bay, at Houston. Then they got to play three home games in a row, one of them on a short week against the Chargers. Now back-to-back roadies with the Jets, with the Chiefs. We know Arrowhead's a very tough place to play. Big game for Kansas City here. Big game for Andy Reid. And again, Andy Reid does a great job off the bye holding down the opposition's offense. So it's square, it's public, it's a big number, but Kansas City minus 10, going to be one of the games on my card here for this week in the Super Contest. Next up, number 28, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are plus two against the Cleveland Browns. And look, I hate going against the hometown team, but the Steelers have a big edge in the trenches here, without Marquise Pouncey. The Browns, No Myles Garrett. Olivier Vernon still hurt. Joe Schobert not in the trenches, but he's been limited in practice. He's one of the best run stoppers in the NFL. He would be a big loss for the Browns. And also, no practice for left tackle Greg Robinson this week. So the Browns likely missing their left tackle. They've had all sorts of problems on the offensive line already, in particular at the tackle position when Greg Robinson hasn't played. And when you think about when the Browns were really struggling early on in the year, yeah, the schedule played a role. But Baker Mayfield wasn't stepping up confidently in the pocket, throwing off his back foot, had some happy feet. He was bailing early. Now he's not going to have Robinson protecting that blind side. The Steelers, we know how good their pass rush is. Second in quarterback hits. They're second to the Saints, who just played last night. So once Pittsburgh gets another game in, they'll lead the NFL in quarterback hits. They're fifth in yards per carry allowed, so the Browns may have problems running the football here. Fourth in adjusted net yards per pass attempt against. Second in pressure percentage. Third in quarterback knockdown percentage. Fourth in hurry percentage. This is not a great matchup for the Browns, in particular with their offensive line concerns and with how Baker Mayfield has looked throughout the season. You know, yeah, he's played pretty well here of late, but the happy feet, the interceptions, the inaccurate throws to guys that are open, not leading receivers, tip balls getting picked. A lot of those things could come back to the Browns offense here this week with Baker facing a very stiff pass rush. I know Mason Rudolph is terrible. I don't know if Devlin Hodges is that big of an upgrade, but I think at least emotionally for the Steelers, Duck Hodges feels like an upgrade to them. Some of the players wanted to make that switch. He probably won't hurt them as much as Mason Rudolph was. And I think in this game, where the Steelers have these advantages in the trenches and where the defense can make some plays for them, I think competency from the quarterback position is a big upgrade. So Steelers plus two, number 28 in the Super Contest rotation order, on my list of very likely picks here for week 13. Finally, number 32, the Minnesota Vikings, they are plus three in the Super Contest on Monday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks. I'm always scared of the Russ factor. I'm always scared of Russell Wilson. He's a guy that makes plays. He's a phenomenal player, as we know. I mean, he's an MVP candidate. He's the reason why the Seahawks are having the season that they are. But we've got a situation here on Monday Night Football where the better team is getting points. And I get it. It's a long trip to Seattle. It's Monday Night Football, the 12th man, so on and so forth. But this Steelers defense, or the Seahawks defense, excuse me, is very poor. You know, 14 fumble recoveries on the season have been a really big saving grace for this Seattle defense. The Vikings don't blitz a lot. They don't sell out. They're not going to get back there in Russell Wilson's kitchen too much, but they play really well in base coverage. That's going to give Russ tighter windows to throw. And I think, too, when you don't have a team that blitzes a whole lot, an improv quarterback may not have as much success. The Vikings defense is better against the run than the Seahawks defense is. The Vikings have scored on 42.7% of their possessions. The Seahawks have scored on 36.8, even though they've had the sixth best starting field position on average this season. So they've scored on about 6% fewer of their possessions. They're sixth in starting field position. The Vikings are 16th. So the Vikings sustaining a lot of drives, moving the football, even being 16th in average starting field position, the Vikings on the season are third in points per drive. This Minnesota offense has been very, very good. Kirk Cousins has played very well in this Kevin Stefanski scheme. They move the football. They score more points. They win this game outright. They certainly cover the plus three. Give me number 32, the Minnesota Vikings, plus three this week in the Super Contest. So my three very likely picks here, Chiefs minus 10, number 17, Steelers plus two, number 28, Vikings plus three, number 32. So we wrap things up here for the Super Contest segment with a couple of leans. And again, obviously, I'm only going to talk about five games here. Like the two Thursday games, wish I would have played them. Maybe this is my five-play card, but I got to do more digging on this card because I'm just not seeing a whole lot to like here with a lot of these games. But on the leans list here this week, number 10, the Washington Redskins, they are plus 10 against the Carolina Panthers here. And I got a real hard time with the team laying doubles with a negative yards per play margin. Carolina minus 0.3 yards per play. They're laying double digits here against Washington. Kyle Allen, the most sack yardage in the NFL, and he's only started 9 of the games. Redskins, 4th in pressure percentage, 3rd in hurry percentage. They haven't always got there. They don't grade all that well in terms of sack rate, but they're at least altering the pocket, disrupting the opposition a little bit. And Kyle Allen has really been regressing here for the most part. Played well against the Saints last week with the 3-0 touchdown interception ratio, but for the most part, he's definitely had his issues here, over his last 6 or 7 starts. The first 2 games, he was great. Last week, he was great. In between, a lot of pretty pedestrian numbers to, below average numbers for Kyle Allen. If Ryan Kerrigan was a lock to go, the Redskins would be a pick for me. But he's such a disruptive force in that pass rush. Seems like he's probably not going to be able to go because of a concussion. So that worries me a little bit here in this game because they're taking away one of the angles I've really isolated for this game. But Washington's done a good job limiting yards after the catch. Carolina 28th offensively on 3rd down. It's hard to get margin if you can't stay on the field and you can't create big plays. And this Carolina defense has not played all that well over the course of the season. Redskins maybe getting a little bit of confidence last week with that victory. Again, they don't have to win the game. They just have to keep this game close for me. And if they get enough negative plays with some sacks, if they get Carolina off the field on 3rd down and Carolina getting themselves off the field a lot on 3rd down, very tough to win by margin here. So Redskins plus 10, number 10 in the Super Contest rotation order on my list of leans here for this week. Finally, number 30, the Houston Texans plus 3. It's a big step up in class for this Patriots secondary. Again, this Patriots offense, not great, as I've talked about several times over throughout the season here. If they get into a little bit of a shootout, a little bit of an arms race with Deshaun Watson and the Houston offense, can they hold up? Houston, I don't like Bill O'Brien. I don't like his play calling. That's the problem I have here. It's Bill O'Brien versus the GOAT. It's Bill O'Brien versus Bill Belichick. You've got the GOAT, all in lowercase letters, against the GOAT, all in capital letters. That's what worries me here. Can Bill O'Brien have a good game plan to go up against the Patriots and Bill Belichick? And I don't know if that's the case. So that's what holds me back here. Obviously, it's more attractive in the circa where you are getting the 3.5 number. But again, this is a big step up for the Patriots defense, who has great numbers. But early on in the year, they played a lot of tomato can quarterbacks. This week, they played Deshaun Watson, who's a much different type of animal. Hopkins versus Gilmore, worth the price of admission here. I don't love Bill O'Brien, like I mentioned, but the Texans are running for 5 yards per carry. So, we'll see. You can run on the Patriots a little bit. That is something you can do with that defense. You can run on them some. Does Watson make enough plays for them to, cover this number or win the game? I think it's a possibility. So Texans plus 3 on my short list here. So the 2 leans, Redskins plus 10, Texans plus 3, the 3 very likely picks, Chiefs minus 10, Steelers plus 2, Vikings plus 3 for week 13 in the Super Contest. As I mentioned, unfortunately, no show coming up on Monday. Got to be around, got to be paying attention for those home repairs here. On, of course, can't record on Sunday night with Kyle Hunter. So we'll get Kyle Hunter on Wednesday's program. I promise you we'll do that. Tuesday, we'll be back on the air with Brian Blessing and also Ralph Michaels. Talk some NFL, NHL, college basketball, and college football. I can't express to you how sorry I am that we're not doing a show on Monday. Missing a couple of Monday shows here of late. Very disappointing for me. I am sorry for that, but we'll try to do everything we can here throughout the rest of 2019 and on into 2020 to not have any of these things come up as we go forward here. So again, we'll be back on the air on Tuesday with a new edition of Bang the Book Radio. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a happy, healthy, smart, safe weekend, and I will talk to you again on Tuesday.